This is Drumkun. Welcome. First of all, I'm going up the hill. I've been riding my bike, but I decided to make this podcast. And it's not very wise to ride the bike and do a podcast at the same time. So I'm going to walk up this hill, going up and make this podcast. Now, this is a commentary on the documentary Generation Do Porn, which is freely available on YouTube with an age restriction. And I am the one who produced and made that documentary because I wanted to expose the players that are facilitating the sex trafficking of young women into pornography. So the documentary is based on Girls Do Porn, which was a pornographic website that manipulated thousands of women into pornography and false information. And sometimes when these ladies realized that they'd been lied to about the purposes for those videos, they were threatened. Those videos were leaked and sent to their family members. Some of them had to leave town. Some of them attempted suicide. Some of them developed eating disorders and many other complications. But in that documentary, I'm specifically mentioning the facilitators. We know that, obviously, Michael James Pratt and those who assisted him within his organization. But I'm also talking about social media. I'm also talking about the financial corporations, the credit card processing companies like CC Bill, C&C and BILL. I'm talking about companies like Visa, MasterCard, ETC that process payments through CC Bill. I mean, they allow CC Bill to process payments using Visa and MasterCard. And all these payments, I mean, he made millions and millions of dollars, Michael Pratt. This was a sex crime syndicate using social media. I mean, they were recruiting young girls on Twitter. Their recruitment advertisements are still up on Twitter as I'm talking to you today. They were doing business, you know, with a multitude of corporations. I mean, they also recruited on Instagram, Facebook. They used, you know, and these corporations are actually doing very little, even though on their corporate websites, they like to have an anti-sex slavery trafficking statement. But those are just statements, because the reality on the ground is that many of these big corporations, and you know, even these guys were using Google search engine technology to drive traffic to their website. There were many people in the porno business, the porn industry, who recommended and gave good ratings, 5-star ratings and so on, about, you know, that to their clients, telling them, you know, you can go and subscribe to this teenage porn. This is real manipulation of young women, you know, into pornography. Because the selling point for Michael James Pratt and Girls Do Porn was that these girls had never done pornography before. But now these young ladies were being targeted and being defiled on camera. And this ended up in a big court case, which the judge awarded Now that these ladies should be compensated. But regardless, Michael Pratt is actually a wanted fugitive. And anyone with his information about his whereabouts must inform the police. He's on an FBI wanted list. He's a New Zealand citizen. But I just wanted to talk about, you know, it's a very complex story because you have to watch the documentary. Again, as I said, it's free. My motivation was, you know, when girls turn 18 in America, the porn industry thrives on recruiting 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, young girls. And we know, even the so-called science, the science says that the human brain is not fully developed until the age of 23. I mean, there are certain things, liquors, alcohol, cigarettes. One must be 21 nowadays to be able to buy those. But pornography, one by the time they turn 18. You know, with Girls Do Porn, there were some girls who literally turned 18 on the day. They'll be blowing the girl a cake and everything and proceeding to film the pornography with, you know, the lady who would later, you know, regret. So, I mean, what changed? 1 second ago, the young lady maybe would have been 17. The next second, or the next day, the next second, the next minute, she is now 18. And now she can be manipulated into this pornography. So I made this documentary really to try and inspire those who make legislation to change the legislation so that the minimum, at least the minimum age for going into pornography should be raised, you know, from 18 to something like 25. There should not be, you know, 18-year-old pornography, 19 years old, you know, should not be a segment of pornography, you know, that should be illegal because these women are still young and many of them maybe have no conception of the long-term effects. And even if they wanted to go back and remove that pornography, they sign contracts that they don't even understand what they're signing themselves into. And so when they one day wake up and realize, actually, that was a mistake. I don't want that pornography of me online. And then it becomes a problem. One prominent case, and this case, of course, is not related to the Girls Do Porn, is of this young lady. She's Lebanese-American. She's called Mia Khalifa. That was a performer name. I don't know her real name. But she has been quite outspoken about she wants people to stop watching her pornography. And she talks about that when she filmed that pornography and she was looking for validation, she was in a vulnerable state in her development and she was easily manipulated and encouraged. And now she finds it extremely hard to get that pornography removed from the internet. And she is obviously saying, you know, I was manipulated into doing this. I don't consent. So, as I said, many of these young people sign a contract, sign away their copyright. But with the Girls Do Porn case, the real nice thing was that the judge awarded the victims their copyright. So the victims can now go online and put what is called a takedown notice. But, you know, they can take it down from one website. It will just crop up on another website and so on and so on. So it's very difficult. Once pornography is out online, it's very difficult to put it back in the box, you know. So These are some of the key lessons from the Girls Do Porn website. And also, I spoke with the legal representative. I got their permission. I spoke with one of the victims, got their support. And she, one of the victims, or the leading key witnesses in the case, one of the John Does, was actually very grateful that the perspective I gave in the documentary helped her to realize that the complexity of the entire industry, but also those who support the industry, how platforms like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Google search technology, how payment platforms like CC Bill that process payments for Visa, MasterCard, etc., are all part of this jigsaw that is facilitating the exploitation of young women, the sex trafficking of young women, the manipulation of young women into pornography. So if you have time, you can go into that, into your YouTube, and watch the documentary. It's called Generation DuPont Documentary. It's age restricted for obvious reasons. The faces are blurred to protect the victims according to the requests of their legal team. So this was some of the work I did prior to playing the handpan. I was, of course, playing a lot of drums, but I was very moved. You know, one time when I saw the statistics by Pornhub of how many billions of people visit their website, and many of these videos are on Pornhub, and, you know, they end up on that platform, and the people who own that platform have never been held to account. In one of my previous episodes, I actually talk about Fabian Thulman, who owns, through some very secretive corporations in Luxembourg, which I managed to dig and find some information. I mean, these are the people profiting from Pornhub, and, you know, but at whose expense? There's at the expense of many young people who have now fallen victim of this corruption. So, if you have time, I urge you to go and watch the documentary, share it with your friends, and urge your legislators, if you're in the United States, your legislators, urge them to watch the documentary so that maybe there will be enough, you know, people to ask for a change in the legislation so that the minimum age for doing pornography should be raised from 18, in my humble proposal, to something like at least 25. You know, if it was entirely up to me, I'd ban pornography completely, but I understand that they've legalized it in California, and there's a legal precedent that, you know, enabled pornography to be legal today. In the case of, I think it was California versus Freeman, in that legal judgment. But I think people are starting to realize that there's a real serious problem in pornography. I mean, they look at how many young people are dying, young porno stars dying of drug overdose. It's unprecedented. And there's obviously a big problem in that industry, and I think it is time to legislate to raise the legal age of consent to film pornography from 18 to at least 25 years old. And This is my humble submission to the world. And if you're listening or and you want to participate, you can send the documentary to other people, to lawmakers. Maybe they will be moved and see, because I make the case as to why the legal age for consent to film pornography should be raised from 18 to, in my humble opinion, 25 years old. That way, that would protect many young women who would otherwise fall victim and are falling victim. Even as I speak now, the porn industry has not stopped recruiting young women through manipulation, false promises, and so on, into pornography. And many young women who then realize they made a mistake, there's always no option for them to go back and say, I want those videos deleted, because they don't even own the copyright. And even if they did own the copyright, once this pornography is online, it becomes very difficult to get rid of it. So this is Drumcoon, and if you want to listen to my handpan music, you can find it on Amazon Music. You can use Alexa, Google Voice, just put Drumcoon handpan. You can go on Spotify. You can go on all the platforms. You know, I've just released 2 albums now. One titled Brøndbjerg Lo-fi Handpan Hygge is my first Danish handpan album in the Danish language. But I actually like the other one as well, called Who Pushed the Neutron Stars, or Neutron Star Collusion. And I used a steel tongue drum on that one. And you're welcome to go and listen and enjoy the music. So I'm signing off, going up the hill. This is Drumcoon. See you in the next episode.